Om Ganatamilandasya, Dhanasanam Salakaya, Saksusimitam, Dhanatasmai Sri Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manavistam, Stapitam, Dhanabhutale, Sayam Rukakadamayam, Nadati Sapanandikam. Vansakopadugasta, Kripasandabai, Vacha, Pajitanam, Pabinevi, Vaishnavi, Namonama. Aditi has prayed, performed the Vrata sacrifice to please the Lord, and Lord Vamadev has come as her son. Lord Vamadev went to bring the kingdom back to the sons of Aditi, the demigods, and he went begging to Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was so attracted to him, and he offered him whatever he wanted. Vamadev said, just give me 3 steps of land. Bali Maharaj said, why only take 3 steps of land? I can give you so much. Vamadev replied, if one is not satisfied with 3 steps, what will satisfy him? What will it take? How many steps? Unlimited steps. So Bali Maharaj said, all right, whatever you want. And just then, Sukracharya, the spiritual master of Bali Maharaj came and said, don't. What are you saying? You're going to give this brahmachari whatever he wants, but don't you know that he's Vishnu? Vishnu has taken the side of the demigods. He's going to take everything from you, and he's going to reinstate the demigods with everything. He's going to use it in the service of your enemy. He's going to put them in charge again. And not only that, you've offered him 3 steps of land, but he's going to cover everything with 2 steps, and then you won't even be able to offer him the 3rd step, and you'll have broken your promise. And you go to hell for that. You've promised and you've broken your promise, you'll go to hell. Therefore, somehow get out of this. Tell him you don't have anything. Tell him anything. You didn't say Om first, so it's not a valid promise. After all, if you don't have anything to maintain yourself, because he'll take everything, then the fruit, just like a tree cut down, the fruit cannot come. So similarly, the fruit of life, even though that the body is temporary, the fruit of life cannot be obtained if the tree of the body is cut. So therefore, somehow tell him no. So now, we will start reading the reply of Bali Maharaj to Sukracharya, his spiritual master. First, I'll read the verses, and then we'll go back and read purports. We'll read everything that Bali Maharaj says right here in reply to Sukracharya. And then we'll go, that's 13 verses, then we'll come back and read purports. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, O King Prickett, when Bali Maharaj was thus advised by his spiritual master, Sukracharya, his family priest, he remained silent for some time. And then, after full deliberation, he replied to his spiritual master as follows. Bali Maharaj said, as you have already stated, the principle of religion that does not hinder one's economic development, sense gratification, fame, and means of livelihood is the real occupational duty of the householder. One shouldn't be sentimental when he gives charity, because one has to ultimately take care of himself. He has his duties. If he gives everything away in charity, he won't be able to perform the Vedic purposes of economic development, kama, artha, dharma, and ultimately moksha. I also think that this religious principle is correct. So there's, which is to correct, to keep your word and give everything as promised, or to maintain the religious principles, the Vedic religious principles of kama, artha, dharma, moksha. So he's deliberating on this. And then he says, Bali Maharaj said, when trying to understand which principle is the proper one to apply. Because that takes wisdom. One can theoretically know many things, but to know what to apply in a particular circumstance takes some realization. That is called wisdom, vigyan, practical application of a philosophy. So Bali Maharaj concludes and says, I am the grandson of Maharaj Prahlad. How can I withdraw my promise because of greed for money when I have already said that I shall give this land? How can I behave like an ordinary cheater, especially towards a Brahmin? There's nothing more sinful than untruthfulness. Because of this, Mother Earth once said, I can bear any heavy thing except a person who is a liar. I do not fear hell, poverty, an ocean of distress, fall down from my position, or even death itself as much as I fear cheating a Brahmin. My Lord, he tells Sukracharya, you can also see that all the material opulences of this world are certainly separated from their possessor at death. Therefore, if the Brahmin Vamanadeva is not satisfied but whatever gifts one has given, why not please him with the riches one is destined to lose at death? The Dakshi, Shivi, and many other great personalities were willing to sacrifice even their lives for the benefit of people in general. This is the evidence of history. So why not give up this insignificant land? What is the serious consideration against it? O best of the Brahmins, certainly the great demoniac kings who were never reluctant to fight enjoyed this world. But in due course of time, everything they had was taken away, except their reputation, by which they continued to exist. In other words, one should try to achieve a good reputation instead of anything else. O best of the Brahmanas, many men have laid down their lives on the battlefield, being unafraid of fighting. But rarely has one gotten the chance to give his accumulated wealth faithfully to a saintly person who creates holy places. By giving charity, a benevolent and merciful person undoubtedly becomes even more auspicious, especially when he gives charity to a person like your good self. Under the circumstances, I must give this little brahmachari whatever charity he wants from me. O great sage, great saintly persons like you, being completely aware of the Vedic principles for performing ritualistic ceremonies and yajnas, worship Lord Vishnu in all circumstances. Therefore, whether that same Lord Vishnu has come here to give me all benedictions or to punish me as an enemy, I must carry out his order and give him the requested tract of land without hesitation. Although he is Vishnu himself, out of fear he has covered himself in the form of a brahmana to come to me begging. Under the circumstances, because he has assumed the form of a brahmana, even if he irreligiously arrests me or even kills me, I shall not retaliate, although he is my enemy. If this brahmana really is Lord Vishnu, who is worshipped by Vedic hymns, he would never have given up his widespread reputation. Either he would lie down having been killed by me, or he would kill me in a fight. That's Bali Maharaj's words. And now we'll read some purports. And then, Krishna willing, next week we will hear Sukracharya's reply to Bali Maharaj's words. Because Bali Maharaj is saying, this Brahmin, even if he's Vishnu, he's disguised himself, covered himself, making himself in the form of a Brahmin. And if he's coming to me in that way, why shouldn't I give him what he's asking? If I give him less than he's asking, then he's not going to be satisfied, and I won't have satisfied this Brahmin. And what would be the good of giving him anything if he doesn't come away satisfied? And in any case, what will I give him that I will not lose at the time of my death? And how long will anyone live? So if I can gain something eternally, or even a reputation, a great reputation for being so renounced and a great dhani, a great giver of charity. If I can gain even a reputation, I'm the gainer. Because if I keep hoarding everything till the moment of my death, what will I have gained when I die? At least in this way I'll have a reputation. So using one point of logic after another, and ultimately using the ultimate logic, if this is Vishnu, even if he's my enemy, he's come, so I have to give him everything. And even the still more ultimate logic, which was really in his mind, was I should give up everything to please Vishnu. This is the purpose of the Vedas. This is the purpose of my accepting a spiritual master. This is the purpose of my existence. If I have the facility somehow or another by the grace of the Lord to satisfy him, that is perfection. That is dharma. That is Bhagavad Dharma. That is bhakti yoga. Somehow or another, Lord Vishnu must be pleased. Krishna must be pleased. So this is how Vamandev, or rather Bali Maharaj, is thinking, because he's a devotee. So we'll read some purports. They're wonderful. So this is the first purport where, after hearing the words of a spiritual master, Sukracharya, Bali Maharaj thinks a while. He's thinking this side and that side. His guru has told him one thing, yet he knows that the principle, the ultimate principle that he's supposed to learn from his spiritual master, is surrender to Vishnu. And here is Vishnu asking him for something directly. So he was silent for some time. And here is Prabhupada's purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks that Bali Maharaj remains silent at a critical point. How could he disobey the instructions of Sukracharya, his spiritual master? It is the duty of such a sober personality as Bali Maharaj to abide by the orders of his spiritual master immediately, as his spiritual master had advised. But Bali Maharaj also considered that Sukracharya was no longer to be accepted as a spiritual master, for he had deviated from the duty of a spiritual master. According to Shastra, the duty of the guru is to take the disciple back home, back to Godhead. If he is unable to do so and instead hinders the disciple in going back to Godhead, he should not be a guru. How did he hinder? He's saying, don't give Vishnu what he wants. Take care of yourself. Take care of your religiosity. Take care of your own wealth. Don't give him what he wants. Well, on the other hand, in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna gave so many arguments why he shouldn't fight. But Krishna told them they're all foolish because they neglect the ultimate principle. The ultimate principle is that you are eternal, you're a soul, and that your business, your natural constitutional position, mamai vangso jivaloke, jiva bhuta sanatana, you're eternal. And you're eternally my servant. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyajimam namaskaru savadamam pratyaja mamanusmanam yudhyacha. Remember me, fight, because I want you to do so. That is the principle, the ultimate principle, to please Krishna. So Sukracharya was telling him something quite different from that. So therefore he had deviated. Guru nasasyat. One should not become a guru if he cannot enable his disciple to advance in Krishna consciousness. The goal of life is to become a devotee of Lord Krishna so that one may be freed from the bondage of material existence. Chaktvadeham punajanma naiti mameti soarjana. The spiritual master helps the disciple attain this stage by developing Krishna consciousness. Now Sukracharya had advised Bali Maharaj to deny this promise to Vamandev. Under the circumstances, therefore, Bali Maharaj thought there would be no fault if he disobeyed the order of his spiritual master. So he was thinking about all these things. He was deliberating on the point.
He deliberated on this point. Should I? Shouldn't I? Should I listen to him? Should I not? And he was angry at him. Sukracharya was getting angry at Bali Maharaj. And later on he'll even curse him for surrendering to Vamandev and neglecting his own instructions. Bali Maharaj thought that there would be no fault if he disobeyed the order of his spiritual master. He deliberated on this point. Should he refuse to accept the advice of his spiritual master? Or should he independently do everything to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He took some time, therefore it is said, Tushim Bhutra Chanam Rajan Uvacha Vahito Gurum. After deliberating on this point, he decided that Lord Vishnu should be pleased in all circumstances, even at the risk of ignoring the Guru's advice to the contrary. Anyone who is supposed to be a Guru, but who goes against the principle of Vishnu Bhakti, cannot be accepted as a Guru. If one has falsely accepted such a Guru, one should reject him. Such a Guru is described as follows. Guru api avaliptasya karya karyam ajanataha utpata pati panasya parityago vidyate. Srila Jiva Goswami has advised that such a useless Guru, a family priest acting as Guru, should be given up and that the proper bona fide Guru should be accepted. He deliberated. Satkama nipano vipro mantra tantra visharada avaisnavo guru nasyat vaisnavasva pacho guru. A scholarly brahmana expert in all subjects of Vedic knowledge is unfit to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnava. But if a person born in a family of a lower caste is a Vaishnava, he can become a spiritual master. So what is the discrimination point, the discriminating factor, whether one should be a guru or not? Ye Krishna Tattva Vaita Se Guru Hai. If one is actually a devotee and knows Krishna Tattva, then he's qualified regardless of his birth. Bali Maharaj said, so he had considered, now he's beginning to speak. He said, you have already stated the principles that don't hinder one's material situation should be accepted. And Bali Maharaj said, I also think this is correct. So on one side, one can't be a fool and drastically, radically act sentimentally, foolishly, and just give up everything. And then later on have nothing from oneself, be completely destitute, and then become bitter maybe. He's saying, oh, there's some point on that side. Here's Prabhupada's purport. Bali Maharaj's grave answer to Sukracharya is meaningful. Sukracharya stressed that one's material means of livelihood and one's material reputation, sense gratification, and economic development must continue properly. To see to this, is the first duty of a man who is a householder, especially one who is interested in material affairs. So if you preach this very strongly in the world, you would get many converts and everyone would love you. Your first duty is to take care of your family, the most important thing, to take care of your means of livelihood, the most important thing. One's material reputation, one's sense gratification, gain this. This is the most important thing. And this is the most important duty, the first duty of a householder. If a religious principle does not affect one's material condition, it is to be accepted. So do as much as you can, as long as it doesn't interfere with your material prosperity. Good preaching, huh? At the present time, in this age of Kali, this idea is extremely prominent, Prabhupada says. No one is prepared to accept any religious principle if it hampers material prosperity. Sukracharya, being a person of this material world, did not know the principles of a devotee, which are just opposed to this. Because what's the central, the fulcrum, the central principle of what Prabhupada is herein is saying, that indirectly saying, should be rejected. The principle is that do what's best for your material life. Please yourself. Keep yourself in the center. Well, Krishna, the Krishna principle, the bhakti principle, the words of Krishna stress something completely different. And what is that something completely different? That one should do everything to please Krishna. And not only that, not fear that one is losing something. So Prabhupada continues. A devotee is determined to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead to his full satisfaction. Anything that hampers such determination should certainly be rejected. Everything for Krishna's satisfaction. This is devotion. This is devotional service. And this is what the spiritual master preaches. Anything that hampers such determination should certainly be rejected. That is the principle of bhakti. Anukulasya sankalpa pratikulasya virjanam. To perform devotional service, one must accept only that which is favorable and reject that which is unfavorable. Bali Maharaj had the opportunity to contribute everything he possessed to the lotus feet of Lord Vamandev, but Sukhacharya was putting forward a material argument to hamper this process of devotional service. Under the circumstance, Bali Maharaj decided that such hindrances should certainly be avoided. In other words, he decided immediately to reject the advice of Sukhacharya and go on with his duty. Thus, he gave all his possessions to Lord Vamandev. This is called Saranagati. Sadvidam Saranagati. Anukulasya sankalpa pratikulasya virjanam. Accept everything that's favorable for pleasing Krishna. Reject everything that's unfavorable. There's so much freedom in that. It's the freedom born of love. But there's freedom. That one is free to do everything that will be pleasing to Krishna, even if the rest of the world condemns. If it's pleasing to God, pleasing to Krishna, it is most glorious. Who will listen to this principle of religion nowadays? Who will listen to this? First of all, one reason why people shouldn't listen to it or won't listen to it is that it's been abused. People will shoot someone and they say, oh, God told me to do it. So everyone will say, it's the mark of a crazy man. So therefore one shouldn't follow this. Or we've seen so many people trying to give up everything. And then what happens later in their life? Boom, go back and try to retake everything that they gave up before. Another reason that one shouldn't follow it. Yet, the fact is that this is what Krishna demands. Actually demands. Savadamam prityaja. Mame kam sharanam braja. Am tam savapapabhyo mukshishami masucha. Somehow or another, Krishna must be pleased. Sam siddhya haritoshanam. So one should keep this principle. This is the principle of surrender. And at this point, when one surrenders to Krishna, bhakti actually begins. If we're doing what we like and offering it to Krishna, that's not actually bhakti. That's actually nishkam karma yoga or sakam karma yoga. Working and then giving all or some of the fruits to Krishna, being detached from all or some of the fruits. But bhakti means working in the way Krishna wants, not working in the way we want. So this takes very deep devotion. And Bali Maharaj has this, and Lord Vamadeva is going to test it. Sometimes we have not deep devotion, but a sentiment. Yes, I will give everything to Krishna. But really what's in our mind is, but everything has to work out the way I want, because I'm giving everything to God. Therefore, and He's all powerful, therefore things should work out just the way I want. My enemies will be pushed down. I'll come upward, I'll gain success, I'll live happily ever after. But this is not what Krishna will do with Bali Maharaj. And we should watch very carefully Bali Maharaj's mood and see how Krishna himself reacts to Bali Maharaj's mood. Very, very interesting. But I don't want to tell too much of the pastime in advance. But we should watch carefully Bali Maharaj's mood, how Krishna reacts to Bali Maharaj's mood, and then how Bali Maharaj reacts to what happens to him. And Bali Maharaj will teach us in this way, Atmanavidaram, giving up of the soul, giving up of everything for the pleasure of Krishna. Text 3. So he's giving his reasons now why he said, first he said, yes, I accept your principle that one shouldn't do anything that will disturb his material life, because there's logic behind that. If you perform your material life properly, then you can make gradual advancement. Slow and steady wins the race. Make gradual advancement, and then eventually, gradually, you'll be able to give up everything to please Krishna. So there's something to be said on that side. But on the other side, he said, I am the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. How can I withdraw my promise because of greed for money when I've already said that I shall give this land? Should I behave like an ordinary cheater, or as the next verse says, the earth says that I cannot bear anything but the weight, I can bear anything but I cannot bear the weight on me of a liar? He'll come to his conclusion, so I can't, how can I accept that principle of maintaining myself if it means that I lie and disgrace Prahlad Maharaj because I am his grandson and put a burden on the earth? So even if I lose everything and go to hell, or I'm poverty stricken, or if I'm distressful, or if I fall down from my position as king of heaven, or even if I have to die, if he takes my life and kills me, I do not fear any of those things as much as I fear cheating a brahmana, going against that religious principle. So I'll read the purports up to that point. One fairly long one and then one short one. Bali Maharaj had already been blessed by his grandfather Prahlad Maharaj. Therefore, he was a pure devotee, although born in a family of demons. There are two kinds of highly elevated devotees called Sadhana Siddha and Kripa Siddha. Sadhana Siddha refers to one who has become a devotee by regular execution of the regulative principles mentioned in the Shastras as ordered and directed by the spiritual master. If one regularly executes such devotional service, he will certainly attain perfection in due course of time. But there are other devotees who may not have undergone all the required details of devotional service, but who, by the special mercy of Guru and Krishna, the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, have immediately attained the perfection of pure devotional service. So two ways to go, two ways to achieve perfection for a soul, sadhana and kripa. Sadhana means I practice and practice and practice and practice and gradually become elevated in due course of time to perfection. And the other way is somehow or another attract the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And actually the mercy of Krishna must be preceded by the mercy of Guru Sadhu. So two different ways. One is a gradual process and one is the rapid process. Example of such devotees, the Kripa Siddha devotees, who by mercy of Krishna or Krishna's devotees have attained perfection, are the Jagyapatis, the wives of the Brahmins, the Mathura Brahmins. Who gave Krishna, who was begging, who Krishna sent the cowherd boys to beg food because they were hungry, or Krishna, they thought that Krishna was hungry. So they begged from the Brahmins who were performing a sacrifice in Mathura, and the Brahmins said no. They didn't. They completely ignored the boys who were begging. And then the wives, when they heard that Krishna was hungry and nearby, because they had heard of Krishna, they brought him everything immediately. And Krishna entered their hearts through their eyes by their looking at him, and he embraced them there, and they became perfect. So they're one example. They didn't perform any sadhana, but they surrendered everything to Krishna, and they attained his favor in that way. Bali Maharaj and Sukadev Goswami, two other examples of Kripa Siddha. The Jagyapatnis were the wives of ordinary brahmanas engaged in fruitive activities. Although the brahmanas were very learned and advanced in Vedic knowledge, they could not achieve the mercy of Krishna Balaram, whereas their wives achieved complete perfection in devotional service, despite their being women. Similarly, Vairochini Bali Maharaj received the mercy of Prahlad Maharaj. And by Prahlad Maharaj's mercy, he also received the mercy of Lord Vishnu, who appeared before him as a brahmachari beggar. Thus, Bali Maharaj became a Kripa Siddha because of the special mercy of both Guru and Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirms this favor, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. Bali Maharaj, by the grace of Prahlad Maharaj, got the seed of devotional service. So this is, I found this interesting. Bali Maharaj, by the grace of Prahlad Maharaj, got the seed of pure devotional service planted in his heart. And when that seed developed, he achieved the ultimate fruit of that service, namely, love of Godhead, prema pamartho mahan. Because what happened is he already was a devotee by the mercy of the association of Prahlad Maharaj. But then, when Vamandeva actually came, he fell in love with him. This beautiful dwarf Brahmin boy, who was actually Lord Vishnu, completely captivated him and stole his heart. So immediately, to achieve the ultimate fruit of that service, that seed, the development of that seed, namely love of Godhead, prema pamato mahana, immediately upon the appearance of Lord Vamandeva, Bali Maharaj fell in love with him. That's mercy. Mercy from Prahlad, and also mercy from Vamandeva himself. Bali Maharaj regularly maintained devotion for the Lord, and because he was purified, the Lord appeared before him. Because of unalloyed love for the Lord, he then immediately decided, I shall give this little dwarf Brahmana whatever he asks from me. This is a sign of love. Thus Bali Maharaj is understood to be one who received the highest perfection of devotional service by special mercy. And the next purport about lion. On the surface of the earth, there are many great mountains and oceans that are very heavy. And Mother Earth has no difficulty carrying them. But she feels very much overburdened when she carries even one person who is a liar. It is said that in Kali Yuga, lying is a common affair. Mayaiva vyavaharike, Bhagavatam 12:2-3. One of the symptoms of Kali Yuga, everyone continuously lies. Even in the most common dealings, people are accustomed to speaking so many lies. No one is free from the sinful reaction of speaking lies. Under the circumstances, one can just imagine how this has overburdened the earth and indeed the entire universe. So after speaking this point, or the series on this point, how could I not give it to him? I've promised. Bali Maharaj will go into some other reasons why he should give everything to Vamadeva. But ultimately, Prabhupada explained the real reason why he wanted to give everything to Vamadeva, and that was because he loved him. The seed of devotion that had been planted by Prahlad Maharaj blossomed when he saw Vamadeva. And therefore he immediately, due to love, wanted to please him. But he's now going to give a more indirect reason. He said, if I give him some charity, as my Guru Sukhacharya has, in the way that he has said, give him one-fifth of my wealth, or give him this or that, but if I give him and don't satisfy him, what will I gain by that? He wants everything, maybe. Sukracharya is correct. He wants everything. So I should give him everything. After all, I'm going to lose everything at the time of death. So why not satisfy him by giving him what I'm already destined to lose? Purport. Short purport. The word vipra means brahmana, and at the same time, confidential. Bali Maharaj had confidentially decided to give the gift to Lord Vamana without discussion. But because such a discussion would hurt the hearts of the Asuras and his spiritual master, Sukracharya, he spoke equivocally, tactfully. He's speaking, maybe this side, maybe this side, I have to be careful on this side. But really, he had already decided, due to his devotion, to give it to Vishnu. But Vishnu was considered the enemy, so therefore he was careful in how he presented it, because he did not want to disturb these persons, the other Asuras who were part of his entourage, and he didn't want to disturb Sukracharya. Bali Maharaj, as a pure devotee, had already decided to give all the land to Lord Vishnu. I have a comment by Sridhar Maharaj. Sridhar Swami explains about this verse. Bali Maharaj is saying that since all of one's wealth and other assets are taken away at death, why not just give them away before that? And if one proposes that it would be better to give only half and keep the rest to make sure that one won't have a problem maintaining himself, then the person you give the lesser charity might not be satisfied, in which case the charity becomes useless. On with more purports. Now he's giving an example of people, personalities, personages who gave away everything to satisfy the Lord, or even on a principle of charity, or on a principle of having given one's word, or given another shelter. So he's giving some, so he's saying, I'm not the only one who's going to do this, but there are other examples in history. The Didichi, in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, we heard how the Didichi donated his life so that Indra could take his bones and make his Vajra, his thunderbolt weapon. And Maharaj Sibi also did this. He offered to sacrifice. I think that was to protect the pigeon. Yes? Is that right? The pigeon who came to him was to take shelter of him. And the hawk who was chasing the pigeon, he said, I would give you shelter, pigeon. And a hawk was chasing him, and the hawk demanded his own flesh, Maharaj Sibi's flesh, to the equivalent weight of a pigeon. So pigeons are very, very, very light. They're all air, and therefore that's part of the reason they could fly. So the king said, all right, I will give you some of my own flesh to feed you, he said to the hawk. But then when the pigeon was put on a scale, he weighed more than Maharaj Sibi. And he said, all right, take me, kill me. So this is actually the demigods testing the charitable disposition of Maharaj Sibi, but he was prepared to give everything because he had given his word. Prabhupada's purport. Bali Maharaj was prepared to give everything to Lord Vishnu, and Sukracharya, being a professional priest, might have been anxiously waiting, doubting whether there had been any instance in history which one had given everything in charity. Bali Maharaj, however, cited the tangible examples of Maharaj Sibi and Maharaj Didichi, who had given up their lives for the benefit of the general public. Certainly one has attachment for everything material, especially one's land. But land and other possessions are forcibly taken away at the time of death, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Mrityu savaharas chaham. The Lord personally appeared to Bali Maharaj to take away everything he had, and thus he was so fortunate that he could see the Lord face to face. So Krishna had personally come to take away everything. Usually Krishna comes only as death to take away everything. But here, Krishna had come personally as Vamandev, not in his representational way. So he was so fortunate that when Krishna came in that way, as Vamandev, he could see Krishna face to face. Non-devotees, however, cannot see the Lord face to face. To such persons, the Lord appears as death and takes away all their possessions by force. Under the circumstances, why should we not part with our possessions and deliver them to Lord Vishnu for his satisfaction? Sri Chanakya Pandit says in this regard, Samit, Sannimite varam tyago vinese niyate sati. Since our money and possessions do not last, but will somehow or another be taken away, as long as they are in our possession, it is better to use them for charity to a noble cause. Therefore, Bali Maharaj defied the order of his so-called spiritual master. So Bali Maharaj, by doing this, he achieved everlasting fame as a Mahajan, a great soul. Prabhupada's purport to text 10 is very short, where he says, by giving charity, everything becomes auspicious. Just like Mayapur, yeah? Ooh, moving towards Vyasa-san. Yeah, quickly. First from the Vyasa-san. From Prabhupada's Vyasa-san. Maybe during the flood time you should bring Krishna Leela to Mayapur. I see him come with mops. Maybe you have to keep it away from that side there. So even an auspicious person becomes more auspicious, as Bali Maharaj says, when he gives charity to an exalted person. So therefore I'll give him everything that he wants from me. Purport. If one accepts a poverty-stricken position because of losing money in business, gambling or prostitution, or intoxication, no one will praise him. But if one becomes poverty-stricken by giving all his possessions in charity, he becomes adored all over the world. Everyone will say, oh, this person is so wonderful. Aside from this, if a benevolent and merciful person exhibits his pride in becoming poverty-stricken by giving his possessions in charity for good causes, his poverty is a welcome and auspicious sign of a great personality. Bali Maharaj decided that even though he would become poverty-stricken by giving everything to Vamanadeva, this is what he would prefer. And from the in this verse, text 11, O great sage, great saintly persons like you, being completely aware of the Vedic principles for performing ritualistic ceremonies and yajnas, worship Lord Vishnu in all circumstances. So he's saying, you, Sukracharya, you're a great sage. And you worship Lord Vishnu in all circumstances. And you're pointing out that he's come, Vishnu has come. And you're saying, be careful of him because he's going to take everything from you. He's representing your enemies, the demigods. So he continues, therefore saying, therefore, whether that same Lord Vishnu has come to give me all benedictions or to punish me as an enemy, I must carry out his order and give him the requested tract of land without hesitation. We'll read from the second half of Prabhupada's purport. Bali Maharaj, having been perfectly educated in devotional service by his grandfather Prahlad Maharaj, knew how things are to be done.
He was never to be misguided by anyone, even by a person who happened to be his so-called spiritual master. This is the sign of full surrender. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, Marabira kabi yo ichatohara nitya dasa prati tuya likara. From Manasa Deho Yeho. When one surrenders to Lord Vishnu, one must be prepared to abide by his orders in all circumstances, whether he kills one or gives one protection. Lord Vishnu must be worshipped in all circumstances, placing oneself in the hands of Krishna. That's surrender. Yotrapte varanam tata. And then the final purport we'll read, a short one. If this Brahman is really Lord Vishnu, the verse says, who is worshipped by Vedic hymns, he would never have given up his widespread reputation. Either he would lie down, having been killed by me, or he would kill me in a fight. So Bali Maharaj is saying, this couldn't be, Lord, even though he knows it's Lord Vishnu. He's saying this, he couldn't be Lord Vishnu. You're saying, Sukhacharya, my Guru Maharaj, that he's Vishnu, but he couldn't be. Lord Vishnu wouldn't come in this cunning way and hide himself. Either he would fight me and either defeat me or be defeated by me. But there is a hidden meaning to this statement, Prabhupada's short purport explains. Bali Maharaj's statement that Vishnu would lie down having been killed is not the direct meaning, for Vishnu cannot be killed by anyone. Lord Vishnu can kill everyone, but he cannot be killed. Thus the real meaning of the words lie down is that Lord Vishnu would reside within the core of Bali Maharaj's heart. Lord Vishnu is defeated by a devotee through devotional service. Otherwise, no one can defeat Lord Vishnu. So that is the way that Lord Vishnu actually becomes defeated. If one surrenders as Bali Maharaj surrenders, he actually will conquer the Ajita, the unconquerable Lord. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
I mentioned in that report about the three Kripa sadhanas, the Brahmana Patnis and Balimaraj. So Sukadeva Goswami, but doesn't give the example about him? Doesn't elaborate about him?
How did Sukadev Goswami attain perfection? He was a Brahmavadi. You know that pastime? How he wouldn't come out of his mother's womb. He was in his mother's womb for 16 years. And he wouldn't come out because he didn't want to fall into Maya. He was afraid that if he came out, he would become entangled in the material world. He was so deeply realized. So he refused to come out. And Vyasadeva was his father, an exalted incarnation of Krishna, Shakta Veshavatar. And he promised him, don't worry, if you come out, you won't fall into Maya, don't worry. But he still wouldn't come out. So Vyasadeva went to Dwarka and got Krishna to come. And Krishna promised him, don't worry, you come out. Because there was some service actually he was supposed to do. So he came out by Krishna's strength of Krishna's promise, he came out. And then what did he do? Still he didn't want to stay at home. He didn't want to become entangled in the family life. So he left home immediately. And his father had a reason for wishing him to come out, as he wanted to teach him the Bhagavatam. So Sukadev Goswami walked away and Vyasadeva kept calling him, come back, come back. And the only reply he got was the echo of his words. But then he sent some messengers with some verses of the Bhagavatam. Some different shastras, it says what verses they are. One is Bahar Pitam Natavara Vappu Kanayor Kanikaram Vibra Vashat Kanaka Kapisam Vajayantim Chamalyam Randram Vinoradara Sudeya Purayan Gopavinda
Vrindavaranyam sa, Prabhishat Gita Kirti, and that's from the Venu Gita, where it describes the Krishna's going into the forest, how the gopis are meditating on Krishna when he goes to the forest with his cowherd boys, and how beautifully he looks. And the other verse is, Maho pakayam stana kalakutam jigham siyadya dariyapisvalvi laibhe gitim datriyutato tatonyam kamba layalam saranam vijayma. How, who could be kamba layalam saranam vijayma? Who could be a more merciful Lord than Krishna? Because when Putana came to him, she came to kill him. And yet, because she came to him as a datri, or a nurse, to give him the milk from her breast, even though she had put poison upon her breast, still Krishna took the essence of that she had come to him, and to give him her breast milk, and took the good from the ocean of the drop of good from the ocean of evil, and gave her liberation, and gave her the position of datri in the spiritual world, of nurse in the spiritual world. So who could find a more merciful Lord than Krishna? We don't want justice. We want mercy. So therefore, when Sukadeva Goswami, who had left home, heard these two verses sent by his father, and I think there was a third one, maybe, possibly, but he immediately came back because he was attracted. So he heard the Bhagavatam for his father, but yet, from my understanding, is he gained perfection not by sadhana, and not just by hearing the Bhagavatam, but he gained perfection by his speaking the Bhagavatam. So it was by the mercy of the Bhagavatam that he gained perfection. So he was Kripa Siddha. And Prickit Raj gained perfection by hearing the Bhagavatam. Any other questions or comments?
So, for all the examples
in the Bhagavatam, Dhruva Maharaj performed sadhana, and we're recommended to perform sadhana. But ultimately, the siddhi, the perfection platform, ultimately will always come by some mercy or another. But yet, we have to put in our side of doing sadhana. Prahlad Maharaj gained perfection by hearing from Narada. Narada Muni himself, by always thinking about the Lord, he heard from his gurus, and then he wandered around, and he gained perfection gradually, when he died, by always feeling separation from the Lord. This is actually described in the Nectar of Devotion, Bhaktivedanta Sindhu, the two ways of gaining perfection, sadhana siddhi and kripa siddhi. So you can look in the Nectar of Devotion to see what else is said. It explains also just by the glance of the Lord and by the well wishes of the Lord, one can gain perfection. And there are examples given in the Nectar of Devotion. So you can look. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Lord Bhavanadev ki jai. Balimaraj ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.